The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Duncan Crary. You're listening to The Kunstlercast, a weekly conversation about the tragic comedy of suburban sprawl featuring James Howard Kunstler. Jim is the author of The Long Emergency, The Geography of Nowhere, and The World Made by Hand novels. I just want to take a second to remind everyone out there that although I haven't been aggressively selling them lately, I do allow advertisers to promote their products on this program. We reach an audience of about 10,000 listeners every week. If you would like more information about that, please email me at letters@kunstlercast.com. I also want to thank everyone out there who has purchased a copy of the Kunstlercast book. I've been getting a lot of feedback from those of you who've read it and enjoyed it. So far, there have been some pretty good reviews that you can all read at kunstlercast.com/book. For today's podcast, I'm going to play a half an hour interview that I gave to the host of Relocalizing Vermont, which is an interesting radio program. I think some of you listeners out there might be interested in it. It's on WGDR Plainfield and WGHD Hardwick in Vermont. And this is a program that explores energy, food, and the local economy at the end of the new age of oil. You can learn more about it at WGDR.org. This is a little bit unusual because normally I help facilitate the interviews on this program, but I'm going to be interviewed and by another host. Jim and I will be back together in our usual routine soon, although we may be taking a week off or possibly 2 weeks off because of the holidays. So check kunstlercast.com for more info on that.
It's 30 seconds before 9 o'clock. You're listening to WGDR Plainfield at 91.1 FM, WGDH Hardwick at 91.7 FM, Goddard College Community Radio, also streaming online at WGDR.org. I'm Carl Ettenayer. This is Relocalizing Vermont. And coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking first with Duncan Crary, the author of The Kunstlercast, Conversations with James Howard Kunstler, The Tragic Comedy of Suburban Sprawl. We're heading towards a sunny day today with a high near 34 degrees, and tonight, increasing clouds, low around 21 degrees. Tomorrow, slight chance of rain or snow showers throughout the day, but the chance of precipitation is never more than 20%. Well, James Howard Kunstler is someone who's had a pretty big influence in my thinking. I read in the 1990s his book, The Geography of Nowhere, which kind of gave me a language to talk about the uglification of the country that that I had seen as I was growing up. And it was even more visible to me as at the 90s I was living in Scandinavia and periodically coming back to this country and came back with new eyes each time. In the early 2000s, he came out with a book called The Long Emergency, and I was already reacquainted with the idea that peak oil was somewhere in our near future, if it wasn't with us right at that moment. And The Long Emergency, written by someone with a long background writing novels, but tackling nonfiction imagination of what it's going to be like to have a lot less oil available for us, really helped bring home to me how fast things could be changing in our society, and really got me to change the course of my life and brought me eventually here to the studio in WGDR, WGDH. Well, someone who sits down every week with Jim Kunstler, James Howard Kunstler, is Duncan Crary. He records and podcasts the Kunstlercast each week, talking about many subjects. The guy has a very fertile mind, and he's assembled some of the highlights of their conversations over the years in a new book called The Kunstlercast, Conversations with James Howard Kunstler, The Tragic Comedy of Suburban Sprawl. Duncan Crary, welcome to Relocalizing Vermont.
Well, thanks for having me.
And you're coming to us live from downtown Troy, New York, rather near where Jim Kunstler lives. Tell us about a little bit about your background and what attracted you to Jim Kunstler's writings and how you came to sit down with him weekly like this.
Well, Carl, I think I had a similar experience as you. I'm 33, and I grew up in the American suburbs. I like to say I was hatched on a cul-de-sac in American suburbia. And I was very unhappy with that living arrangement by the time I reached adolescence. As a young child, I didn't mind riding my bike and playing in the woods of suburbia, but they were quickly destroyed for more housing tracts, just like my own. And I didn't have a way to really articulate my feelings about suburbia and its failures until I read this book called The Geography of Nowhere. And I read that in the mid-90s, and it clicked. As soon as I read Jim's first nonfiction book, The Geography of Nowhere, it was like someone had given a voice to all the feelings I had all pent up inside me for a long time. So, you know, that's how I discovered Jim, and that's how I discovered his thinking about suburbia. And then I went on to become a newspaper reporter for a few years, and I used to interview him for various newspapers and magazines. And then when, in the 2000s, mid-2000s, I'd gotten into podcasting, and I thought it would be a great format to just sit down with Jim every week and really pick his magnificent mind. So that's what I've been doing for the last 4 years. And we've talked about everything from suburban sprawl to peak oil to tattoos and the American costuming that goes on these days. And now they're all connected.
Wide-ranging conversations. Well, for those of you listeners who would like to meet Jim Kunstler or hear him in person, he will be here in Montpelier for Transition Town Montpelier's Village Building Convergence this coming spring summer. June 20th is the date that he's going to be here. So get that on your calendar now. You may already have your 2012 calendars. And you can check out more about that at the Village Building Convergence website, which is VBC-VT. VBC-VT.org. Tell us about his thinking on suburbs, the geography of nowhere, and the construction of the suburbs. He is famously called the suburbs in the U.S. and the exurbs the greatest misallocation of resources in the history of humankind.
Yeah, that's right, and it's becoming more apparent these days as our economy is getting into great troubles, that we spent a lot of our money building a living arrangement that really has no future. It's completely dependent upon the automobile, which is getting harder and harder to for a lot of folks to just pay to maintain. We are facing some energy shortages, so it may become even harder to obtain gas, even if you can afford it. And, of course, the financing behind suburbia has gotten into a great deal of trouble, because all of the homes and all the accessories that go with them are all dependent upon sort of endless cycles of revolving debt that are now coming to an end. That's the short of it. There's a lot more to say about suburbia just beyond, and its failures beyond those reasons. It's a very isolating environment. It's particularly damaging for young people, because once they reach the age of around 13, they crave, higher quality interactions with people in their community, and they can't get them because they need to be chauffeured around by their parents. They can't walk downtown and interact with adults, in a civilized way. So it's a very isolating environment, just beyond all the other practical problems with it.
Yeah, Jim Kunstler describes in some of your conversations with him that you've captured in Kunstler Cast. Yes. Growing up in a suburb, and then at the age of 8, moving to Manhattan, and how liberating that was for an 8-year-old to get around Manhattan, how much more connections he had with so many more people.
Yes, although he does say, and he's correct, I think, that Manhattan can be a pretty overwhelming place for anyone, but especially for a young child. It's not necessarily an ideal living arrangement for people and for children either. Jim's sort of default living arrangement would be small town America or small city America. And I'm with him on this one. I think, you know, Americans have really just abandoned their smaller scaled cities and their urban villages. And it's a shame. And we're going to need to start re-inhabiting them. And, you know, it is happening in places all across the country. People are coming back to cities like my own, Troy, New York, which is really only a city for about, it was built for about 75,000 people. So, Jim did discover some things. You know, he developed some personal sovereignty in Manhattan as a young child, and that was important for him.
Yeah, that reminds me of the current debate about so-called free-range children. There was a woman who lives in Manhattan who wrote somewhere in the paper, her blog, about letting her 10-year-old kid find his way around New York City all by himself. And that was shocking for many people that she'd let him do that. But Kunstler was doing it at age 8, and this woman insisted that the city's perfectly safe for a 10-year-old to get around, and he really develops into a much more self-sufficient human being when he can do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what to say about letting your children go free range in parts of suburbia. I mean, you look at some children, sometimes they're riding their bicycles on the shoulder of a 8-lane highway to try to get to Ben and Jerry's. That's not safe either.
If they still have a Ben and Jerry's.
Right.
We're still smarting over losing our Ben and Jerry's scoop shop here in Montpelier. Well, Jim Kunstler is not only a deep thinker and an acerbic social critic, he's also, he's got a great way of expressing himself. I just want to read a little bit from your book, Kunstler Cast, Conversations with James Howard Kunstler. This is from a TED Talk that Jim Kunstler gave in 2004, and the excerpt is called Places Not Worth Defending. We have, 38,000 places that are not worth caring about in the United States today. When we have enough of them, we're going to have a nation that's not worth defending. And I want you to think about that when you think about those young men and women who are over in places like Iraq, spilling their blood in the sand. And ask yourself, what is their last thought of home? I hope it's not the curb cut between the Chuck E. Cheese and the Target store, because that's not good enough for Americans to be spilling their blood for. We need better places in this country. What's it like to sit down week after week with a guy who has such an acerbic wit and all these observations and everything from Chuck E. Cheese to Saudi Arabian oil production?
It's endlessly fascinating. I mean, I didn't imagine I was going to still be doing this week after week for 4 years, but we haven't run out of anything to say yet, so we probably won't. It's, you know, he's devilishly entertaining. I mean, there are other people out there who are challenging the suburban dogmas of the day, but, you know, Jim's voice really speaks to me, and I know it speaks to a lot of other people. And he's kept me laughing, you know, for not just for the 4 years I've been doing the podcast with him, but for all the years before that, when I was reading his books and following his blog and interviewing him from newspapers. And the humor is really important. That's why the tagline of this book I put out and of our podcast is The Tragic Comedy of Suburban Sprawl. Because it's tragic, but it is also funny. And one of Jim's favorite quotes to explain that is something that Samuel Beckett said, the Irish playwright: nothing is funnier than unhappiness. And the truth is that what we've done with our country and our built environment is, it's made us very unhappy. You know, we just keep hurting ourselves, and we can't stop. But when we laugh about it, we're laughing at the pain that we're causing ourselves. The other thing, just to further answer your question, what it's like sitting down with Jim week after week, I've considered this whole project as sort of an odd apprenticeship of sorts, you know, sort of an intellectual apprenticeship. But I've really tried to just sit down and learn from him. And, you know, he's 30 years older than me, so it's an intergenerational conversation. And I really just enjoyed, receiving, any knowledge or wisdom that he's willing to pass on to me.
Mm-hmm. Duncan Crary is the author of The Kunstler Cast, Conversations with James Howard Kunstler, The Tragic Comedy of Suburban Sprawl. If you'd like to ask him a question, make a comment, join our conversation in any way, give us a call at 454-7762. Well, Jim Kunstler, you mentioned Beckett. Jim Kunstler has a background in theater. Tell us how that has influenced his life.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was in a traveling theater troupe for a while in college or right after college. I can't remember now. Performing Beckett's Waiting for Godot. It's important to mention that although he's regarded as a very important urban thinker and social critic, he does not have any formal degrees in the subjects that he talks about. So he doesn't have a degree in urban planning, he doesn't have a degree in geology or anything to do with energy. But he does have a background in theater, and that's helped him deliver his message in a highly entertaining way. And he has stayed involved in the theater a little bit. He wrote a play a year or two ago called Big Slide, which we did a staged reading on our podcast of. So he's still very interested in theater, and he believes that in the future we are going to probably move away from a lot of the canned entertainment of our modern times, and we're going to get back to live entertainment on a smaller local level, and I look forward to that.
How is your region, Troy, New York, for live entertainment right now?
Well, I mean, I frequently go out for to see plays and musicals and other live entertainment. You have to work a little hard at it in this region. You know, you have to go seek it. It's not like New York City where it's just everywhere. So you have to work hard at it. But we've got it. It's in my city of Troy, New York. We have a few theater spaces. There are a couple small cities that are all clustered together here in the region. So there are some pretty grand theaters in Albany and Schenectady where you can go see live shows. I really enjoy it.
Well, let's turn to some of the predictions that Jim Kunstler has made over the years. And I've been fascinated to watch. I wasn't reading him regularly back in 1999, but he was writing about the Y2K in a very similar way to what he talks and writes about peak oil, the results of peak oil right now. And here's a little bit of what he wrote in April of 1999, which to his credit he keeps at his website, Kunstler.com. Y2K will not strike at the midnight hour on 1100. It will unfold fractally as a series of events over the next several years. With accelerating disruptions across the remainder of 1999, a spike of failures around New Year's 2000, and a ripple of consequences accumulating, amplifying, and reverberating for months and even years afterwards. I believe the aggregate economic effect of these failures will be a worldwide deflationary depression. I will not be surprised if it is as bad in terms of unemployment and hardship as the 1930s. We had some good things going for us. Democracy, the movies, space travel, indoor plumbing, painless dentistry, jazz, great restaurants, a beautiful country. We became a fat, complacent, and slovenly culture. I hope that our grandchildren do better. And then several times in the last 5 or 6 years, he's predicted that by the end of this year or the next few months, the Dow will crash to 4,000, and it keeps not doing that. In fact, it's often gone up after he's made those predictions like that. What are your comments on his penchant for making these short-term predictions that turn out to be so wrong?
Well, yeah, there's a couple things to say about it. I do get into this with Jim in the ConcertCast book, of course, which is based on my podcast, so we've talked about it on the show before. The Y2K thing is not going to go away. Jim was on the Colbert Report a few years ago, and, of course, Colbert got a little shot about Y2K, and that's probably the result of his, interns just Googling Jim and looking at his Wikipedia page. So anyway, the Y2K thing's not going to go away. The predictions about the Dow are not going to go away. I do want to point out that is there are a couple different personas of James Howard Kunstler, and the Kunstler that makes the predictions is actually, I would say, it's Jim Kunstler the blogger. He has a weekly blog whose name I can't say on the air, and that's where he tends to make a lot of these predictions. As far as Y2K, I don't know that he was necessarily wrong about taking it, the problem seriously. but it was a specific problem, and we spent a lot of money to deal with it, and luckily we took care of it. Things like energy depletion and peak oil and all the other ramifications of that, they're way more widespread. So just because Y2K didn't happen doesn't mean that, you know, we should discredit the things he's saying about peak oil.
To use a language that some of the other people I talked to about this use, like John Michael Greer, who was on this show last week, I would say that Y2K was a problem, whereas peak oil is a dilemma. And the difference between a problem and a dilemma is that there's a potential solution for a problem, whereas a dilemma is something you just deal with.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I'm not as... You know, I'm not as interested in the energy issues of this discussion as I am with the original problems of suburbia. I mean, the reality is that suburbia has so many other failures and problems, and car dependency is so dehumanizing that I don't really, you know, I would be motivated to try to address these issues of our built environment and our culture, even if there were no such thing as peak oil or energy depletion.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm interested to hear Jim's, you know, thoughts on the future, I tend to try to bring them back to, you know, some of the more basic problems of the way we've done things in America.
Right. And Jim Kunstler is someone who is very much against the car, although he drives around a lot because he's asked to come and speak in places a lot. But he's very much against the effects of the car. And we have a caller who wants to join. Just a minute.
Sure.
WGDR GDH, you're on the air. Name and town, please.
Hello, this is Claire from Waterford.
Hi, Claire.
I come from Britain, and my parents live in a village, and the village is fairly built up, and the farmland's all around it. In the middle of the village is a shop that disappeared for a few years, but all the people in the village, including my parents, and it's over 200 people actually actively put their money and revitalize the small village hall that used to be a school. And now they have a shop. It's a organic type with ordinary groceries and a post office. And 80 people in the village actually volunteer, and they have a couple of people that they pay to make it run. And it's a really wonderful center of the town. They have Wi-Fi, coffee, you know, playground. Is that possible, do you think? Does your visitor think that that Kunstler could talk about villagization of suburbia?
Okay, did you hear that, Duncan Crary?
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, Carl. I'm having trouble hearing the caller, but could you summarize what she
sure
wants to know, I'd be happy.
She's from Britain. She described
I'm going to hang up because this is such a universal thought.
Okay, thanks for the call, Claire.
Yeah, thank you.
She's from Britain. She was describing a village in Britain that is surrounded by countryside and has in the middle of it a little shop that has all sorts of wonderful organic produce and playgrounds and things like that. And she's wondering if this model of the village could be transferred to suburbia. She used the phrase of villagification of suburbia, and she wonders if Kunstler thinks that that's possible. And you do talk about that a little bit in your book, The Kunstler Cast.
Oh, sure, and it's a great question, and it's a great idea. Yeah, not all suburbs are created equally. Some of the older suburbs, which sometimes we refer to as the streetcar suburbs in America, you know, they're a higher quality urban fabric than just the relentless housing tracts of, you know, California and places like that. So there are people like the new urbanists, a group of progressive architects and planners, you know, who are interested in trying to retrofit suburbia, and they've even had projects to retrofit things like suburban shopping centers to sort of put a street pattern back down and break up the main building and deck over any one-story buildings. When I talk with Jim about this, I mean, his attitude is kind of at this point, he's not sure that we're going to have the finances, you know, to pay for the retrofit of suburbia. So he takes it pretty far, and he thinks that a lot of the suburbs are just simply going to be abandoned, and then the materials of the buildings are going to be salvaged. But I guess, you know, if you take away the financial issues, yeah, if there's a will, then, yeah, there would be a way to, you know, create some more town centers in some of the suburban places.
Or where I grew up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a town of about 45,000 when I grew up, it's about 60,000. Now, there was a center, a downtown, and that got hollowed out as I grew up and malls were built further and further outside of town.
Yeah, and there's another thing that I should have said, and I'll say now. Are you still there, Carl?
I'm still there. We lost a caller.
All right, I heard. The other thing is just we have zoning codes all across America that prevent good urbanism. You know, in a lot of the suburbs, we have zoning codes that would not allow you to create a village center in them because they don't allow mixed use, and they mandate all sorts of surface parking that make it impossible to have, you know, good urbanist buildings that are close enough to actually walk to. So we're going to have to either reform our zoning codes or we're going to have to just start ignoring them.
Right. Well, one thing before I let you go here, Duncan Crary, is you know, one thing that struck me about listening to Kunstler, and I've seen him in a lot of places. Oh, we got a caller. I'm going to prioritize a caller. Hold on.
Okay.
WGDR, you're on the air. Name and town, please.
Trisha Wakefield. You missed out when this lady was talking before. The whole point was these people put up the money themselves, 200 people in that village, to make this store, and they also are volunteering and helping run it.
Okay.
So that wasn't brought out. It sounded as though it was just sort of, I don't know, coming from I don't know where quite. But that, would you think that's possible here?
I don't know. The city that I live in, Troy, New York, it's sort of been passed over by all the corporate chain stores and all that. And there are an awful lot of just small entrepreneurs who are willing to put their money where their mouth is and try to rebuild their community. So, yeah, I think, you know, the U.S. is a big country. We have sprawl in Canada and Australia and everywhere else. And if there are people who are willing to put the money up and invest in it, yeah, more power to them. I hope they do.
We have co-op stores here in Montpelier. There's one in Adamant. We have stores kind of similar to that.
Yeah.
Or at least financial models similar to that.
Sure.
Anything else, Tricia? She's gone. Well, I just want to get into... it's like Amory Lovins was a jilted lover from James Howard Kunstler. Rather, Kunstler was a jilted lover. Every time I hear Kunstler talk, he goes out of his way to criticize Amory Lovins, who really revolutionized thinking in the energy field well before Kunstler was even writing about the geography of nowhere, and has led to a whole lot of improvements in efficiency. And he's very much on Kunstler's side in terms of wanting to create livable, walkable communities. There's a whole section at the Rocky Mountain Institute website on communities, and yet every time I hear Kunstler talk, he goes out of his way to criticize the hypercar project of Amory Lovins.
Yeah.
Could you comment on that, Duncan Crary?
Oh, yeah, sure. And, you know, I hear from at least one person over at the Rocky Mountain Institute who listens to our podcast and enjoys it in spite of all the shots at Amory Lovins. So I don't know, some of that might just be sort of the conflict between a public persona and not necessarily a personal thing. I think that the hypercar project really irritates Jim because the reality is he thinks it's a waste of time to just keep propping up the car. And I think that he thinks the hypercar would just further enable American car dependency.
And I should have mentioned that the hypercar project aims to make much smaller, more efficient cars that can get 100 miles per gallon or more.
Right. And, you know, I feel similar to Jim on this issue. I mean, I don't care if they invented a car that, you know, I don't know, just the fumes that it spewed out were good for the environment and, you know, it ran on air or something. I want the car to just become an increasingly diminishing presence in our lives.
Well,
I mean, I own a car, and you mentioned that, that, you know, that Jim has to drive around a lot. I mean, in some ways, we are hostages to our time and our habits and our practices. And, you know, to live entirely without a car is just not possible for some people. My car just lives, you know, a few blocks away from me, and it just sits on the street all week. I only drive it really to go up to meet with Jim to talk about the evils of car dependency, so the irony of that doesn't escape me. But when this car of mine dies, I don't know if I'm going to be getting another one. I'm not a fan of the Prius or any other kind of alternate motoring. I really just want us to get back to walkable communities and fix our rail system. And a lot of the energy that people are investing, the mental energy they're investing in solving our problems, is all about making the car, keeping the car alive. And I think Jim and I both want to see the car die, and we want to move on to the next thing.
Duncan Crary, give us the website for KunstlerCast.
Sure, that's KunstlerCast.com, and it's KunstlerCast. And you can listen to all of the back shows, and you can find out more about the book.
The book is The KunstlerCast, Conversations with James Howard Kunstler, The Tragic Comedy of Suburban Sprawl. Duncan Crary, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Carl.
Bye. I'm Carl Ettner. You're listening to Relocalizing Vermont here on Goddard College Community Radio. Next up, we'll be talking with Frantic.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Something a little different. That was me talking to Carl Ettner, the host of Relocalizing Vermont, which airs Thursdays at 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WGDR Plainfield and WGHD Hardwick, and is streaming at WGDR.org. That show airs 8:30 to 10 a.m. Thursdays. I hope you all have a very happy holiday. You've been listening to the KunstlerCast featuring James Howard Kunstler. To leave a listener comment, call toll-free at 866-924-9499. Send email to letters@kunstlercast.com. You can listen to all of our past programs, join our email list, find out how to book Jim to speak in your area, and talk about the show with other listeners at kunstlercast.com. I'm your host, Duncan Crary. Thanks for listening.